Got car trouble?
Hold on to your lug nuts. It's time for an overhaul.
Now's the time to talk with Jerry on the Simmons Car Care Shop Talk Show.
Well, if you're one of the millions who own one of them gas-drinking, piston-clanking, air-polluting, smoke-belching four-wheel buggies from Detroit City, then pay attention. I'm about to sing your songs, huh?
Good morning, Southern Arizona, and the rest of you out there in cyberspace that can pick it up. Let's see, that would be by podcast, streaming. I checked with them yesterday. Streaming, everything to set it up is in the studio. It just needs to be hooked up and everything zeroed in. And that's just about my extent of knowledge on streaming because I am not a radio technician. I have enough problem with my darn cell phone. I'm Jerry Simmons, your host. Welcome to the Simmons Car Care Show. I'm Jerry Simmons, your host. Along with me this morning, riding shotgun, Mr. Javier from Spectrum, Ina Road Auto Collision.
Wow. Good morning, Jerry. That was pretty awesome.
Hey, this is my second cup of coffee, man. I'm telling you, I'm ready. I am ready, ready, Freddy. All right. Now, what I want you to do is I want you to tell them your address, your phone number, and then I want you to give me about 2 minutes of what you actually do over there.
Okay, words, 2 minutes, huh? All condensed.
Yeah, that, by then, I'll have the other half of the cup drink.
You are basically telling us the same thing now ADOT is telling us about Ina Road being open, huh? Anyways, our street address is 4425 West Ina Road, and yes, Ina Road is open for the local businesses. Our phone number is 520-744-4454, so that's pretty easy to remember. And really, Jerry, what we specialize is collision repair. Not only do we do collision repair, we do bumper-to-bumper, mechanical to the point that anything that's related to the accident is what we handle. And also we do detail, window tinting, anything, polishing of headlights like our engineers here were driving around with.
Like Sam.
Like Sam. Sam, if you're listening, I hope you can see now there is light after your car. So that's what we do, Jerry.
So, and it's a pain in the butt to have a wreck and then go deal with the insurance companies because it's kind of like the amount of paperwork is almost like buying a new vehicle or a home, okay? It is so dadgone confusing, and especially when there's so much going on at one time. What's your recommendation? Take it from a time that, you know, let's just use me, for instance, when I backed into my wife's new truck.
Which time?
I only hit it once.
Once?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, what would have been my procedure that would have made it a lot less headache?
You know,
go to Mexico.
The best thing to do is the best thing to do is really before you sign on the dotted line, whether you go with an agent or you go with a lizard over the internet, do get to know what your policy is going to cover and what you're going to be wanting to have covered. Collision, you have comprehensive. You have two other coverages that need to really be studied, underinsured and uninsured. Most people don't know what those coverages are until it happens to them. A conversation is when you're this weekend, for instance, if you don't have nothing else to do, pull up your policy and really look at the contents of that policy, because when you do have an accident, and the average is now, I will get to see you once in every 4 years. You will come and visit us. I want to make sure that you really understand what your $500, $1,000, now the average deductible is $1,500. So $1,500, and, you know, when you call up for to get insurance, you basically tell the agent, I want the cheapest thing out there. Well, guess what? He's going to give you the less expensive out there. That means there's no glass coverage. There's no rental reimbursement. The rental, today's going rate, it's about $30, $35 per day. That's not including taxes. So you go, average repair time that the car is going to be down, it's about 5.5 days. So if you have that extra income, so now you have a $1,000 deductible. Now you have another $250 in rental car costs because you chose not to have that. Now you're out of pocket close to $1,300 before you even get the car into the shop on there. So my best advice is really look at that policy and have a conversation with your agent. If you do get into an accident, first thing you ought to do is make sure you document, you take photos at the scene of how the accident occurred. If it's your fault, you can always delete them. But if you can always delete it and you say, oops, okay, I swear, officer, that cow wasn't there. And then from that point on, at least you have some good documentation. But there's a lot of individuals right now that are driving around with expired insurance cards, and they pull it out and they say, okay, here's my insurance. And then later you find out 2 days later that it was expired. Now you have to go through your own carrier. Take a picture of the driver's license and the registration and the insurance card of the other individual. Then make a phone call to that insurance company. If you were a claimant, call them. Make sure right there and then. The great thing about cell phones today, and I know no one uses them while they're driving, is that have that person call the insurance company right there and then. Everything is fresh. Everything is in their mind. And now you can assure that you can assure yourself that there is a conversation, because the insurance company, it takes up to 48 hours for them to reply to you. So if your car is non-drivable, the car is going to be towed by Frontier Towing to their lot. And what is going to happen is it's going to be incurring storage fees. So once the car gets taken away and towed away out of your possession, attempting to get into your car to get your personal belongings, it's, I mean, you can get to the White House a lot easier than you can get to one of these salvage yards.
I'd rather go to the salvage yards than the White House.
Well, okay.
Okay, let's go right along. That's all the political stuff.
Oh, yeah. Well, that would be another show.
That's one that I won't even entertain doing.
It's just insane. But, you know, so at that point, if it is your fault, then do the right thing. Call your insurance company and let them know, hey, listen, you know what? I dare happen to sway into this man's car and took out half of his car. And most people assume that they have a deductible when they hit someone. Well, that's not the case. The only time you have a deductible that is applied, or some people call it a copay, is when you're having your car repaired. That's about the only time that you have a deductible. So if you do have a couple of unfortunate accidents, then look at the what it's going to cost you. Most insurance companies, they will charge you a 25 to 30% increase for a period of 3 years. And so do the math. If the repairs are going to be anywhere between, let's say, $1,500 and you have a $500 deductible, do the math and see what the comparisons is going to be. And usually a good shop, we're able to assist you with asking you those particular questions, and we show you what the math is going to be, and we give you a good price if you're going to pay for it without insurance, so that way you keep your rates where they supposed to be. Insurance companies, and the ones that advertise, accident forgiveness, or it's okay if you, you know, if something happens. Well, it's advertising. It's advertising.
All right, you mentioned something that kind of caught my ear just a little bit. What's 4.2? I'll be seeing you in 4.2. That means every 4.2 years I'm going to crash something?
Absolutely.
I'm not going to do it. No. I refuse to back into my wife's new truck again.
Okay, that was a year ago.
Dangerous.
That was a year ago.
I won't be around to even file a claim on that one.
Right. But, yeah, that's the average. The average repair cost, it'll be about $2,200. Mm-hmm. So that's the national average now. Mm-hmm. And the car will be tied down for exactly about, you know, five to 5.2 days in the shop, mm-hmm. depending on the severity of the impact.
Wow. All right. What information do you need from me to actually process the claim?
Well, the only thing I need, Jerry, from you is two things. Once Jerry makes that initial phone call, they're mm-hmm. going to issue you a claim number.
Right.
That claim number, that's all we need. Mm-hmm. Then in today's market, just with the downsizing that a lot of these carriers are doing, they're asking people to take photos and upload them to the insurance company. Mm-hmm. The insurance company's claim is they will process the claim as soon as pretty quick. Some of them do, but you're not a photographer. You're not documenting the correct impact. That's a hard job. Let us, you know, help you process your claim. It's bad enough that you're saying, where am I going to get $500, $1,000, or $1,500. That's really what's on your mind. And that's if the car is drivable. So if the car is not drivable, now you're worried about how you're going to get around. Mm-hmm. So we pick up the vehicle. We send out whether our field estimators, which that would be me, or we can have it towed in. Whatever's easier. And let us document to the other person that's 1,500 miles away that he's looking at your damages over a screen and say, yeah, I think we should repair that versus replace it. Mm-hmm. Then they're basically, at that point, we explain to them how the impact occurred and what the interior damages will be, and thus avoiding any additional downtime on this car. So the claim number is the most important thing that we just need.
Okay, let's get into total loss. What establishes the criteria for total loss?
Oh, my gosh. We're dealing with a couple of right now. Total loss is basically based on the book value of the vehicle. So, the standard percentage that insurance companies use is anywhere from 70 to 75% of the book value.
And that's low book.
Low book. Right.
Okay.
We have a 99 Jeep Grand Cherokee right now that we're dealing with. It only has 50,000 miles on the car.
Wow.
Car got T-boned, two doors. You know, the book says car's worth $2,500, but you look at this car, you can eat out of the carpet. I mean, this is an immaculate car. So we're negotiating with the insurance company saying, this is not your typical Jeep Grand Cherokee. I mean, it's got the tow hitch. It's got everything manageable in this car. And you know, their insurance company is only giving him $2,100. This car is, the damages are about $3,500, and we're documenting to them, look at, this is not your average car, okay? So you cannot take, even though it says it's worth X amount, no, this car has more value, and basically the way that the customer has taken care of it, mm-hmm. it warrants more. So we're almost there. We had to get in a third opinion, an independent, to come in and really look at the value of this
right.
vehicle. So
I know there for a while it seemed like the biggest competition that Auto Collision had was total loss.
Correct, and it still is.
Yeah, it's rider check. Okay, here you go.
Right, but they don't realize that some of the clients go out and get a a loan, third-party loans on the cars, and now they're upside down.
Sure.
The gap insurance is very good for these high-end cars. You guys were talking about the other day about the average new car, which is about $25,000 in today's market.
$32,000
Go
ahead.
$32,000 Just imagine, so the, before that ink dries, that car has depreciated. How much?
Anywhere from the first year, you normally lose anywhere from about 18% to 37%, depending on what vehicle you're actually driving.
Okay.
My question is, that Jeep Cherokee that you're working on,
mm-hmm.
when it was purchased, it was listed, it was charged insurance on that purchase value, correct?
Correct.
Did that value go down as he dropped 27% the first year? Did the insurance premium actually go down?
Oh, heck no.
I don't remember seeing anything come down from a new purchase all the way through. And yet, when it gets, and then they want to pay you nothing for it when it actually crashed after you paid thousands of dollars in insurance premiums through the years. That just chaps my hide. Because if they're going to do that, say, okay, I'm going to pay you $2,100 for a vehicle that probably cost, what year is that,
99?
Cherokee?
Grand Cherokee.
Grand Cherokee?
Mm-hmm.
That son of a gun probably cost $26,000, $27,000 in 99.
Right.
And that's the premium he paid on it, and now they're going to give him $2,100.
Correct.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did you discount your insurance coverage as the vehicle price went down over the years?
Absolutely not.
There's the beef. Fix the darn Jeep, insurance company.
Right. And, you know, we look at each individual vehicle individually and what it stands for. Each car is going to tell us exactly what it needs and how it needs to be fixed. They are those exceptions. I tell our clients, do your homework, go on the internet, local papers, see what this average car is going for. And the client tells me, I can't find anything as nice as it is. Well, that's your argument. You say, how are you going to put me in the same condition as I was prior to the accident? Keywords, prior to the accident. You have to compensate me to my loss. What the insurance company also look at is the cost of the rental they'll be out during the repairs. But sometimes, what their theory is that we'll cash you out and go away, don't bother us again.
Mm-hmm.
And then the smart individuals, they do their homework. They go, you know, everything is based on zip code. So if you live in the 1-8 zip code, for instance, guess what? You're going to get a little bit higher. But if you live in, let's say, a lower zip code, you're not going to get as much for the value of the car. That they're assuming that, you know, there's a high rate of possibilities of more damages to this car, theft, vandalism, and all that. So doing your homework, going on these Car Guru, then you have Auto Trader and several dealerships. And if that vehicle, it's not there, then it's awesome because you say, there's nothing out there like that I want for my car. And usually it takes about a couple of offers before they wake up and they say, you know what, okay, we'll give you this amount, what it's worth.
The thing that still bothers me a little bit, you know, we see a lot of cars for repairs, like about 2 weeks backed up, have been
nice,
for years.
Nice, nice.
And people will come in and say, wow, that's a lot of money. I'll just trade it. And I say, you're going to buy a brand new one with a 3-year or 5-year or 6-year, 10-year warranty on it? Well, no. Okay. So you're going to go out and you're going to buy a comparable car. Are you going to get all the maintenance records on this car when you buy this car? Okay.
Correct.
And we actually, when we look at these vehicles, we do a pre-check, just like you're buying it.
Mm-hmm.
And say, okay, this is what you need to put this thing back on the road to go. Can you replace it with another vehicle for this dollar that will put you back up to a nice, dependable vehicle? Well, no, I don't think so. Do the math. I'm just like you. do the math. If you're going to buy a vehicle, or you've got a vehicle that you have absolutely abused it to the point where it won't run,
mm-hmm.
Like we just seen, and then you come in, you can expect, if this is the best vehicle you've ever owned and you've never done anything to it, that scares me to death. And it come back, and I told my client, I says, I told you 5 years ago, and it has now come around. And they said, well, you know, I'll just go buy another diesel, go right ahead. Right ahead. They said, well, what about yours? I want to buy yours. And I said, no, you don't.
No,
I said, my diesel is spoiled. It's used to being properly cared for and maintained. Okay? I have it for sale right now. Is it inexpensive? It depends on what your vision of inexpensive. $17,900 and got 204,000 miles. And a foot or every service thing that's been done on that vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
And I just put it out in front of my yard. Well, I don't have a lot of traffic going through there. And I've had 3 hits on it in 2 days.
Oh, wow.
And it's just parked in my yard. And the guy said, that thing, what year is that? It's 06. Really? Because it's detailed to the nth degree. It is, the interior is perfect on it. It has the fifth wheel of the gooseneck hitch in the side. It has airbags. It has modified suspension. It has the cold air breather. It has everything on that vehicle. Would it bother me to hit the key, put fuel in it, and go to New York? No.
Right.
I sent it into the shop, and I said, somebody that I know will wind up buying my truck. I don't want any problems with it. They went over it. Went in and it needed some service. That they said, well, we'll just do it. And it was about 5 miles premature, but they did it anyway.
Did you change the Kevin filter?
I don't have one. That's the only, you know, I even looked at the
really?
Aftermarket.
I'm surprised.
On 06, I looked at the aftermarkets that they
right.
had put in there, and I read up on them. And they said, they actually work. I said, it's a filter. It has to work. I mean, that's a no-brainer. It don't move. It just sits there and sucks air.
Right.
Air sucked through it. And they said, but it's ugly. When you put it under the dash, it's an ugly addition. And I'm going, okay, well, you know, I don't smoke or anything like that, so I should be good to go. And I keep it clean, so I really don't have a lot of debris and stuff lying
right.
around in it. But short bed, 4x4. $17,900 comes with all the records.
There you go.
Everything.
See? And the records are priceless.
Oh,
let me
my
tell you,
gosh.
Documentations, insurance companies, they thrive on documentations. And someone like yourself, they will give them a nice inch and a half of documentations. They have no other option but to give you top value for the car.
Or I just tell it replace with comparable.
Yeah, and they say, well, let me go talk to my supervisor. Yeah, right. Then they put you on hold.
Had a deal one time with the insurance company. Had a 03. Oh, it wasn't. It's 93 one-ton dually with the old 6.5 turbo diesel in it, GM. And hit a curb or something. No, I didn't hit anything that I know of. But I had a bent spindle on the left side, and I kept having, you know, premature bearing wear and stuff like that. And so finally I said, self, you really need to fix this because I carry a 10.5-foot cab over camper. So I thought, okay, well, let's say I did hit something. So I called the insurance company, and I said, all right, this is what I've got. So they sent an adjuster out. He looked at it, and he says, You ran it low on differential gear loop. I said, no, I didn't. And so I pulled the records and showed him where this thing had been changed on a regular basis. ASC certified technicians. And it's the owner's vehicle. Trust me, these guys are not going to do anything to screw that thing up.
Right.
So sent it over to GM. GM brought this guy in that the insurance company hired that was a genius and said, okay, says you run it low on fluid. That was where this started at. And then the debate started, and I didn't get too excited. I knew exactly what was going to happen, thinking we can do it the easy way, we can do it the hard way.
Mm-hmm.
And they decided that instead of, and I said, look, for $500, you pull a differential off, you send it over to this shop, he will replace the spindle. There's nothing else bent. It's a spindle.
Mm-hmm.
I can see it on the bearings. Nope. They're going to get me a used differential. I says, whatever. So they go to a salvage yard. They get a differential with a wrong gear ratio.
Right.
And they bring it in. And I said, and I called them. I said, before you put that in, I want to know when it comes there. I'm going to come over and look at it. I went over and looked at it. Here's this rusted piece of crap sitting there. And I said, you want to pull inspection cover off the back for me? And the guy just wind gunned cover off of it, and I opened it up, and that ring and pinion was rusted. Everything was just garbage inside it. And I said, this is not going in my truck.
Correct.
What's plan two? And this went on for about 2 weeks, almost three weeks. And finally, they called me, and they said, well, what do you recommend for this? You know, and I said, look, I tried to tell y'all when the thing come in, just go ahead and send it to this one machine shop. They will cut that spindle out and put it on. That is not an uncommon repair on these things. And he said, well, yeah, I guess that's what we'll need to do. So they pulled a differential, sent it in, replaced the spindle on it, $500. I got my truck back. And they spent more money jacking me around than they would if they just went ahead and did it. And
absolutely.
The aggravation was incredible.
Were you in a rental?
Huh?
Were you in a rental?
No, I had a second car.
You imagine the cost of the rental for those 2.5 weeks.
Yeah.
So that's $300 on top of the $500.
Yeah.
And this is what frustrates the consumer, is that something that simple that can be, you know, negotiated. We use some used parts on the vehicles, fenders, hoods, doors. When it comes down to suspension, our argument is, will you put your family on that axle? You want us to put that knee on that? Well, you know, it came out of, yes, it did, but what can you assure me that that person that's been driving that red car has had the same type of service as Jerry Simmons' vehicle? Well, here's the records. No, you put something comparable to that. It's okay to use aftermarket parts on some suspensions. Merle sells really good parts out
there.
There's a lot of good parts for people that have some good stuff out there. But to get it, just like you got that out of a wrecking yard that's been sitting there, minimum of 60 days, you know.
My butt. You can't rush something up in 60 days.
And that's printed on your declaration of your insurance, is that the insurance is, you waive your rights. That clause is, we have the right to repair your vehicle as we see fit.
Right.
And once you see that, it's like, I go, gosh, I hope, you know, you go into, you have your gallbladder out, and then all of a sudden you have your tonsils out. And you go, I'm going to use Billy Bob's tonsils over here, and I'm going to give you this pair of lungs.
Oh, my
you know?
Gosh. Well, the other thing on the differential, mine was a Positrac.
Okay.
Right? Theirs was open case. And I said, so you're going to put me a new Positrac in there? Yours is Positrac?
See, they just
I'm going,
don't.
And all of that told me one thing. What if I hadn't been in the automotive repair industry and know what I'm talking about?
Correct.
What's a normal consumer? What's his options here?
They're very minimum.
They say, okay, go ahead and put that rusted piece of crap in there, not knowing it's a rusted piece of crap.
Right.
And what happened to rust and differentials?
They'll be seeing you more often than...
That stuff just eats them up.
Right.
It just absolutely.
Rust is...
when they've been sitting. This differential had been sitting around probably for 2.5 years.
No.
That's just, I'm dead serious.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime you can take a knife blade and go in and go after the rust on a gear and you cut it loose and there's chunks coming out, no. As soon, because that rust is like an abrasive. As soon as you rotate it over and it heats up and that stuff starts cutting, it starts making a new pattern on your gears.
Right.
And it starts frying the bearings on the side, the two carrier bearings. And some of them have two pinion bearings up front. It starts eating all that stuff out. Well, when it starts grinding down on a 1-ton or a 3/4 ton, the contaminated fluid migrates to the outside because that's what lubes the wheel bearings.
Correct.
And or well, especially in a half ton, they don't. They migrate out on a half ton. That's another rust issue that we've seen. We tried to convince the guy that you really, really need to do this, and which is replace the bearings on it. He didn't do it. He eventually had to replace whole rear end. But on the one tons, the bearings run out. You have lube. You can pack the bearings, or you have a liquid coming from the inside. But anytime you get that rust and contaminated fluid, because contaminated fluid, believe it or not, is what causes differentials to fry. Mm-hmm. You tow up a mountain, you pull hard, old fluid will not dissipate heat, just sits there and cooks the wheel bearings and the differentials and stuff like that. That's where you get into the big money. Tell you another thing it'll do, too. It'll warp that little inexpensive or expensive housing, I should say. And then you have to start looking for the housings. We had the privilege of going after a late model Dodge differential housing that the guy had driven it. He had hit a rock or something on the rear pan, and it drained all the oil out of it. He didn't know it. He just kept driving. And when it fried his differential, it also warped the housing. It was a late model housing that the only one in the country was at Jasper in Indiana. We got the housing brought in, and then we had to put everything new inside it. And that guy, when he walked away, was like $3,500. And I said, turn it into your insurance company. Right. You hit the cover mm-hmm. with a rock. That's right. A collision.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, well, and that was it. He paid for it out of pocket. I didn't even bother asking him, why didn't you pay your insurance premium?
When people say, well, then you know there's been two or three impacts prior to that. But see, very interesting points, Jerry, is that just imagine, as you said, the consumer doesn't know any.
Absolutely.
You know, and then it's up to us, the repair professionals, to really explain to you how the repair process is going to take, what you negotiated with the insurance company. Some of these carriers that send you to their preferred shops, they get you in and they say, just give me the keys and we'll get it repaired. Well, something happens in between that, and that is the service writer doesn't really explain to you how the repair process is going to be done.
Right.
One of the things that we have implemented with these procedures that the manufacturers are telling us is that every car that we're doing right now from 2015 on forward, we're scanning every single car to find out exactly what the problem is. Because before, you fix them, you replace a module, and off you went. So every calibration has to be done. So the first thing the insurance tells us, well, this car doesn't need to be calibrated. According to the position statement from the manufacturer, they're saying that at any time we put our hands on these vehicles, you have to have them scanned and programmed to what they were. Otherwise, how are you going to know if the car has been repaired properly? So what we're starting to see now is people are going into the dealerships and saying, well, we're going to have to scan your car. Therefore, it's $225. And the explanation, it's not there. So you got to be careful and ask the right questions. How is my car going to be repaired? And we become the middle guys. We're actually your ears, your voice, and we're advocates for you. That is our job, to get you back to where you were prior to your loss.
Yeah, you just stated that's how the true professional does it.
Yeah.
The other little thing is the Carfax. People put a lot of weight on this Carfax. What's your take on Carfax? Now, let's be honest, but let's don't go after anybody.
We're not going after anybody other than, no. Boy, you're holding me back today. Jeez. Come on, Jerry.
I'm trying to keep us almost out of trouble. Right. We'll concentrate on educating the consumer based on what we pretty much know.
Correct. Okay? Two things about Carfax. Carfax is not always correct. Not everything goes into Carfax.
Bingo.
Okay. So some carriers do put that into a Carfax repair. Some mechanical, nationwide mechanicals do put a report on Carfax. They tell you that that's just to enhance the value of the car. But we have had individuals that have had their car serviced by a major chain. And on the Carfax, it said, if the wording is not correct, they said we had issues with the transmission, we had suspension issues. So now it becomes, oh, my God, this car's been in a wreck. All because the individual did not, say, service the transmission, service the axle, service
the
cooling.
Rebuild the front suspension.
Right. Yeah. So I would be, Larry, the best thing besides Carfax, pros and cons, is that just look at it if it's available, yes. But spend the additional $100, $150 to have your car inspected by a certified shop or your local mechanic. He'll tell you really what's going on with the car. Pull out the dipstick, look at the different. My favorite, it's the cabin filter. If you pull that out and you see 5 years worth of where you've been, then you know that the car has not been well maintained, even though what the individual that's selling the car is.
That thing is, you know, it happened to my brother. He had a little Toyota, and that guy liked to kill me, liked to cause a heat stroke in Chesapeake, Virginia. Humidity 88%, and it's like 84 degrees.
Now, your brother's an engineer, isn't he?
No, that's Bobby. Bobby's an engineer. This one's a retired Navy officer.
Oh, okay.
And I asked him, I said, John, when's the last time you changed your cabin air filter? He looked over at me and said, what?
What is that?
And this is 4.5 years, something like that.
Oh.
And I said, your air conditioner's not working right. How long has it been doing this? Oh, it's been doing it for a while. One of these days I'll take it in. He said, it'll work a little while, then it'll quit. And I'm going, Jesus Christ, John. And so when we got back to his house finally, while I was still conscious, I pulled his cabin air filter out and showed it to him. It wasn't 10 minutes. We were on our way to the dealer. He takes it to the dealer and says, I want everything done that needs to be done on this. He don't even ask them for a price.
Okay.
I need everything serviced on this as required. So he goes in his manual. And I said, John, can I just sit out here in the truck? I'll fight it on the outside for a little bit longer. Mm-hmm. I did not want to go in that dealership with him.
Okay.
He said, no, I want you to go in dealership. He said, and he walked in. He said, you know, it's amazing. My brother, who owns a shop in Tucson, Arizona, has to come all the way across country to make sure that you guys can change a cabin air filter. Oh, my gosh. You know, that's one of those things where you're trying to run. He won't let you. And but I said, John, just get the cabin air filter. We'll put it in.
Mm-hmm.
Trust me. It's the easiest one on the market to change. And I'll show you how to do it. And then you can quit depending on people that you can't depend on.
Right.
And so he said, you're going to put it in? Yep. So he said, give me the filter. So the guy went back and got it. And he said, you can just have this. John said, no, I'm going to buy this thing from you. Should have bought it from you when you supposed to have done the job.
Correct.
And he wouldn't even let him give him a filter. He paid for the filter, and we went back out the truck in the parking lot at the dealership. I said, hey, John, watch this. And so he leaned over there in that little old cab, and I opened it up. We had the other one. We'd beat it out on a rock and put it back in. And then I pulled that out, put that in, snapped it. And he said, that's it? I said, that's it on this vehicle. It's one of the easiest ones on the market to do. He said, okay, now I'll take care of it from now on. I said, just remember, if you don't ask the questions, you don't read your owner's manual. Ignorance is very expensive, and ignorant, or nothing wrong with it. I mean, all of us have it because it's just lack of knowledge. You know, you give my cell phone. I'll swear I'm going to use my cell phone for target practice before I ever, when it sees its last day, I'm not even going to trade it in. I'm going to take it to the gun range, and I'm going to use it for target practice. That's been the most aggravation I've ever had to pay for in my life. And every time it updates, it takes somebody that knows what they're doing about 5 minutes to reprogram it.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a person that don't know what he's doing, i.e. me, about 20 minutes. And then first thing I know, I've got something turned off that I shouldn't have turned off.
Right.
So, yeah, that is aggravation, pure aggravation.
And what type of phone do you have?
Samsung.
Ah, that's why.
Hey, there you go. No, what are you
smartphone.
Talking about?
Smartphone.
These are great. Samsungs are amazing.
Shut up.
So, Jerry, people tell me, people come in into the shop and they say to me, Javier, what is Jerry like? Can you describe to your fans what you're wearing today? Because they really need to know. I think it's amazing myself, so... Explain to him about the scissors that you carry.
All right. I have found in my senior years that the best way you can keep your pants up, since you don't have a butt, is you can wear Levi's and your suspenders.
Right.
You go get the big ones that they sell at like Lowe's or Home Depot or something like that. The ones about 2.5 inches wide,
mm-hmm.
You put them on, because in search and rescue, when we go out with all of our gear, our radios and everything else that we carry out there, has a tendency to want to pull your pants off. So when you're sitting on a mule riding, that's easy to keep your pants on. When you get off and you have to actually do some work and you're carrying all that garb around.
Right.
Even the military has suspenders and stuff on some of theirs just to keep the clothes up because of the amount of garbage you carry in it. So today I have to go work on concrete when I get through this. I've got to go under concrete and put electrical access through it. So I'm wearing a pair of Carhartt bibbed overalls. I've got every pocket on them with something in them. I carry a pair of little snip scissors, $3.99, and I told Javier, if you ever start carrying this, you'll never put them down. It's almost like a cell phone. You'll just take it with you, whether you hate it or not. And you carry this stuff around because you never know when you're going to need it. Now, you asked about why do I carry scissors.
Right.
Everything in the world that you buy, I don't care where you buy that, comes in a blister pack, which is a molded plastic covering that's child-proof and most adult-proof.
Right.
Except for me. I've got a $3.99 equalizer. I cut the darn package open, and then I can get to it. You can use it for cutting anything. However, the reason I originally started cutting it was search and rescue.
Okay.
When we go out, if you can't find it, you can't treat it. That goes to the automotive industry.
Mm-hmm.
That's evidence-based diagnostics, but you've got to be able to see it. And so if you've got a punctured leg or broken leg, we have to go up the seam of the pants in order to get access to the leg so that we'll know how to prepare it and still use the pant leg to fold back over it to keep environment, sun, stuff like this from further injuring it.
Mm-hmm.
And I have used that for those scissors for everything you can think of. They've got the flat side on them so you can actually cut bandages off. You know, it's... everything.
That's
the tools of the trade.
That's what it is. And the best thing, you know, sales are going to go up right now, right, on those scissors. So everybody's going to go out and purchase these scissors along with the overalls.
Don't you pay over $3.99. My daughter, when I first got in search and rescue, she's a nurse practitioner. She brings me in a pair of scissors. I think they were scissors. I'm not sure. It looked like a all-in-one. I mean, this thing had to cost a bunch of bucks.
Uh-huh.
And, I mean, it's got everything from the oxygen openings and valves and stuff to put stuff together. And I'm looking at that, and then the scissors come apart. You can use them as a knife. You can use them as – and, I mean, they're high dollar. They're still in my bag. I have yet to use them.
Don't tell her that.
Well, she's in Sandpoint, Idaho. She won't hear me anyway today. But they are great. However, the $3.99, and when you find them, buy three pairs. Because when they start to wear down to where they won't cut a pair of Levi's or cut a boot loose or something, then you need to just get another pair. I carry three pairs with me on search and rescue.
Okay.
And I check the grade on the cutting sides to make sure that they're still nice and sharp. If they're not, I just take the other one. Then I put that one down at the barn and cut hay bale strings with it. So now.
Lesson on fashion this morning, folks.
Hey, that's what you do. But you don't see me running around my pants hanging down to my knees either, do you?
No, we don't. Definitely not.
And I just, yesterday when I come in to cut the ads and stuff for the program, everybody kept looking at me like, wow, what's this? I had a pair of regular fancy slacks on and a fancy shirt and a big nice leather jacket and everything. And I thought this was going to make me show an ID before I got in the door.
Said, that I recognize you.
You can take the boy from the country. You just can't get all the country out of the boy.
There you go.
But anyway, so yes, that's what worked. I was doing a live remote, and a lady come up, and she was about 5 foot. And I am on air at a live remote. And she comes up, and she gets right in front of me, right where I am trying to talk with the microphone and stuff. And she sat there, and she stares at me until I go to break. She wasn't more than a foot away from me. And she says, I had you pictured with a big white beard. And about 150 pounds more. I didn't know that you were slim and trim.
Uh-huh.
And she
said, "Did she wink at you?"
But I was waiting. What she described was that one guy on Hee Haw.
Oh, okay.
What's the big fat guy? That
I know who you're talking about.
BR5, whatever.
Right.
What was his name?
Google it.
So, yeah, perception. I mean, perception is what, you know, it still runs the world.
Right.
It didn't make any difference. Facts are, we've already proven that. But perception, it's what you perceive. I'll tell you one thing. When I tell you to change the fluids in your vehicles, I am not kidding. And last week we went with the water. Mm-hmm. I couldn't believe it. Brian and I could do it 2 hours on just a water system on a vehicle.
Correct.
People, I can do 10 hours on liquids that actually flows and service your vehicle.
I miss Eric.
Huh?
Eric, Mr. Guru, Mr. Fluid.
Who? Slick?
Slick? Oh, yeah. I miss him a lot.
Well, we still talk to him, so.
Yeah.
He's the go-to guy because I don't think I'm going to live long enough to him to forget everything he knows about these different chemicals and stuff that we put in our vehicles. The testament was when actually Wade was on here, is talking about snake oil.
Oh, okay.
He said, Wade over at the shop, my manager at the shop, is probably as solid as anybody I've seen as far as, no, you don't want to use that as crap. I mean, you may not like the way he tells you it's crap, but if he says it's crap, you need to take it to the bank because he's not kidding you. And he says the difference, he said, I grew up in the world of the snake oils. And I personally have tried just about everything on the market to see if it works or it don't work. And I'll use it enough to find out if it works or it don't work. One time I got bit in the butt. I used a $52 for 8 ounces of a additive and put it in my diesel. No, I didn't pay that for it. I was given it to test.
Mm-hmm.
It eat the seal out of the front of the cam on my diesel.
No wonder they gave it to you.
Well, that's pretty potent. And so when we pull, and of course the cam's a one piece. You got to take the engine apart to get the cam out. Well, we pulled it out to replace this $6 seal. And I told the technician, when you pull that out, I don't want you to destroy that seal. I want you to pull it out where I can see where the seal lips actually make contact. And it was etched. It was just like you had poured some kind of a grind in it or poured a chemical that eat away the seal.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really the only one, other than when I tried to mix a additive and a diesel synthetic fluid.
Okay.
And I poured it in, and all of a sudden my engine started making noise, and we're sitting there, and I'm going, I think we need to get it out because the oil pressure is coming down. So we took it out, and this is a matter of a minute. We pulled it out. As we opened the drain plug, it come out glob, glob, glob. It didn't pour out. It globbed out. just chunks, just like clabbered milk.
Wow.
And I'm going, well, I don't think I want to put that in my synthetic oil.
Correct.
And so the stuff that we have over to shop, which is BG Chemical and mm-hmm. and Penray from mm-hmm. Merle's. Penray you can pick up at Merle's for anything. The BG Chemicals, you have to go to BG.com and find out who carries that. But the other thing that I like a lot, and actually BG likes a lot, and they don't manufacture it, is the power service, the BioClean. BioClean is used to clean up fuel tanks on diesels.
Correct.
And it cuts that algae and stuff in it. And so the BioClean by Power Service, you can go to powerservice.com. They'll give you some good technical data on your vehicles. And then you can go to BG Chemicals, same way. They've got a good website, and they will educate you on that stuff. So everything that I put out, I like for you to be able to actually verify, because once in my lifetime, I may make a mistake.
Just once.
Yeah, that was about 6 o'clock this morning when I was headed over here.
There you go. But I hear
once
you
a
and,
day.
Yeah, there you go. I hear you and Brian talk a lot about motorvacs.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. It's I get asked a lot that when people come in mm-hmm. and they're having a collision, they say, do you do that? And I go, nope, just go a mile east.
Send them to Brian.
I go see Brian. But what is that? Can you? They keep talking about it. And what is the mechanics?
What is a motorvac?
What is a motorvac? What it's supposed
okay,
to be?
Okay, every time I say this, I get in trouble because it ricochets all over the world.
Right?
It's like taking an enema. It just absolutely cleans everything out from
good
the
morning,
fuel
folks.
Tank to the injectors to the screens to the. And part of the process is cleaning the intakes. We attended a 2-day seminar on diesel. Actually, motorvacs
mm-hmm.
To clean
so
them out.
So that's new.
Because everything, huh?
That's new.
Yeah, that's new.
Okay.
And we do it with success. We can do the Cummins. We can do the General Motors, Duramax. We can do the Ford Powerstroke.
Okay.
And that, it really helps them, mainly because we don't use our diesels as diesels. The guys who use the diesels, it pulls a backhoe all day long,
mm-hmm.
every day, 5 days a week. They can run just, they need to run the power service for the BioClean in it to get the junk out of the fuel tank. But if they run 245 once a year in these big diesels, they can run a 245, which is by BG Chemical in the diesel, and that'll help clean the tank and help keep system working. But as far as seeing those guys that actually do this, now the thing is that they have to tell us the truth on what they're doing with it, because it won't take us long to find out if it's true or not. I mean, we can put a vacuum gauge on a vehicle and tell you whether or not you're plugged up.
Okay.
And what we do is we hook a vacuum gauge to it. That's how we know that it's actually completed, because a vacuum will go, it'll climb anywhere from 2.5 to 5 inches vacuum. And that's huge, because all these engines are big old vacuum machines. You suck it in, blow it out.
Correct.
But the top-tier fuels we covered last week, or a week before last, I can't remember, the difference between top-tier fuels and the regular blended fuels,
mm-hmm.
We covered that. Go to the top-tier. You know, Costco's top-tier now.
Mm-hmm.
QT's top-tier. You can go on a website. Just Google top-tier fuel dealers, and it'll all pop up for you all the way across the country.
So what do you think about adding the Lucas fuel injector cleaners to that?
The Lucas is not as concentrated, what we have found, as the BG. So
okay.
When you get the Lucas, use 2 bottles.
Okay.
Use 2
per
bottles.
Per fuel tank.
Yeah, depending on the size of your tank.
Okay.
Read the instructions. I realize it's a new thing for most men, especially. Read the instructions, dude.
Interesting concept, you know.
And her wife will say, see, I told you so. You know, my wife will buy anything. It just said, did you read the instructions before you started to assemble it? Nope. What I did do, I went over and helped my daughter put a one of these trampolines together in the backyard,
Yeah.
The big one.
Okay.
Me and my idiot brother, my engineer brother.
Engineer brother.
And he looked at me and he said, maybe we ought to read the instructions. I said, you're kidding me? This is a no-brainer. Wrong. We put it together. We were one bolt hole off, had to take it completely apart and fix it. So read the instructions, even on the automotive industry, even your owner's manual. Any additives that you pick up to put in a vehicle, don't mix the additives, okay? If you're going to run a can of Pinray in there, you run that Pinray until it's out and you feel comfortable with it. Go about one tank, put it in one tank, run that thing. If you're going to change it out, go about two more tanks, and that'll flush it out completely. It'll deplete it and go out. Don't put a can of Pinray in it, can of Pinray, and then STP gas treatment or something like that, because there's just enough difference in them to where you may get a chemical reaction, which actually does harm. So, and then all of a sudden your seals start leaking and everything starts coming apart. So don't mix your additives. If you're going to Pinray, go to Pinray, stay with it. If you're going to Lucas, go to Lucas and stay with it. If you're going to BG Chemicals, which we found to be about the top in the market, then go ahead, but be prepared to pay. You can put two bottles of Pinray in for the price of one bottle of 44K.
Right, exactly.
But the 44K is super concentrated, and it is designed for the industry professionals. We put that stuff in it. We need to be able to watch it if we're going to flush it out. And if we're going to do, BG has just about every kind of kit in the world. If you plan on doing flushes for engines and all the little stuff that goes with it. In fact, I've got a BG, automotive BG right here.
There you go.
And I'm going to tell you something. That's a big book, isn't it?
Yes, it
is.
It's got
53 pages of different additives and what it actually does. This is our new toy here.
Oh, okay.
And this is what it looks like, the difference between, you can see the same results on these valves if you use top-tier fuel consistently.
That's the key thing. Don't just go by the price.
The only time you're going to buy something that you're not sure what's top-tier is if you're running across country and that gas needle says E.
Correct, yeah.
And then I don't care what you're running. You can run premium in it if you want to, but it has to be done. All right, we have sat here and talked for 1 hour.
Straight.
Non-stop. It's time to take a break, and we'll be right back. You're listening live to the Simmons Car Care Show on ESPN 1490 and 104.9. 719-1490 is the call. We'll be taking them right after we get back.